John Burney's smiling and going, there's a beginner's error, but lovely to welcome you this afternoon to our induction service. A special word of welcome to Lewis and Sharon. We wouldn't be here without you. I think it was last Saturday we were watching our MLAs. They were up on the hill outside Belfast jostling and fighting over positions. Who was going to get what job? But here we are on a hill, slight hill, on the edge of Benburb, and we come to praise God for his guidance in leading the church to you and you to the church here. So really welcome you here this afternoon. Family and friends, it's delighted to see you here this afternoon, and trust this is a start of getting to know you better. With so many visitors from Emmanuel and from Bethany churches, it's great to have you along, and we really value you that you made the effort this afternoon. We're delighted to have representatives from the Association of Baptist Churches here, and with many pastors, ministers from neighboring churches and other churches and former pastors here this afternoon. And we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We've got one email just all the way from New Zealand. I'll just take a minute to read it out. It says, greetings from New Zealand from Pastor and Mrs. Orr. Elsie and I would love to be with you today in this new milestone in the life of the church. We have such fond memories of our time spent with you during our years of ministry. We wish Lewis every blessing as he steps into the role of pastor. We pray that both pastor and people will know much of God's blessing in the years to come, and that the name of our triune God will be glorified. Yours in Christ, Alfie and Elsie. Let me just read two verses before we stand to sing. The psalmist says in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And the church at Gortmurrin can truly say, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's stand to sing Psalm 100 when the praise group lead us. Thank you, praise group.
Thank you.
Brother Colin to come and lead us before the throne of God in prayer. Thank you, Colin.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now to worship you. And in our worship, we want to acknowledge who you are. Want to recognize that you are the one who has made all things. That you are the one who is holy, holy, holy. Heavenly Father, we come today to pray for your help for this service. We thank you for it. And we pray your blessing upon each one who will take part. And we ask that through our coming together this afternoon that you will be glorified. Father, we come to thank you for your church. We thank you for the church here at Gordmerin. And we thank you for all the way that you have led us as a church, Lord, in the years that have been. But Lord, today we look to you to lead your church in the days to come. And to that end, we pray particularly today for Lewis and for Sharon. We thank you for this young couple. We pray, O God, that today and from this day forward, they would find all that they need for this great task in the sufficiency of your grace. We pray for the leadership of the church, the elders and the deacons. We pray for the members, Lord, that you will indeed unite together, pastor and people, that as a result of all that takes place in this place and from this place, your church will continue to be built and your name will be honored. And so, Lord, we come today to thank you and to acknowledge our need of you. We give you our praise, for you are worthy, now and always. Amen.
Good afternoon. I'm not rubbing it in or anything. Well, it's lovely to be here, and it's a joyous occasion, and I just want to take time to share a little bit about the history of the call of Lewis and Sharon to Gordmerin. I'm not sure any church wants to go through a vacancy, but as elders here in Gordmerin, I think Richard, Trevor, and I can say that we hadn't been through this before, but we've known the encouragement of the church and the Lord's help along the way through this process. We wanted to share a little bit about the journey that we've come through, and I'll do that now. And I've entitled it, The Pursuit of a Pastor. Pastor Colin Jervis, who just was up and prayed for us, completed his pastorate at Gordmerin at the end of October 22, to start with Baptist Missions in November 22. We thanked Colin and the family for their faithful service and remember them constantly in prayer. Even though we had been aware of this for quite a few months, it all became very real. Colin had been a very genuine, caring, and faithful pastor at Gordmerin, and he would be very much missed. As elders, we were grateful that in the last number of weeks during Colin's time at Gordmerin, he pulled together a schedule of speakers that would carry us forward for for the next 6 months. And I believe we also have Colin Cooper to thank for his influence as well. We have the blessing of having different speakers come into the pulpit each Sunday. Some young, some old, some still in college, others who had many years of service. But we were always blessed through the word that was shared. But on the 20th of November, 22, Lewis Stevenson, who was assistant at Emmanuel Baptist, spoke at both services. In the morning service, Lewis spoke from John chapter 20 on the life-transforming impact that Jesus can have on your life. And the elders received good feedback. On the 22nd of January, the elders met Colin Cooper, who provided some real nuggets of advice for us on calling a new pastor. Key points like, don't feel that this is a 3 or 4 year process. Keep it moving. And to consider only one man at a time. So that is what we did. On the 29th of January last year, Lewis returned again and spoke from the word with such maturity beyond his years. And again, we received very positive feedback. The elders took advice from Colin Cooper again and on whether to arrange an informal meetup with Lewis. Would that be a good first step? And on speaking with Lewis in March 23 to see if there was that appetite, Lewis explained he would value that and he was willing to see how things would progress in the early relationship that he had with Gortmurrin. The three elders then met Lewis at Starbucks in Rushmere, a great venue for meeting up. And that was in March 23, and I believe that was Lewis's recommendation. But that was a great meeting, and no issues were noted on how Gortmurrin runs as a church compared to how Lewis would pastor a church. Lewis then, after that, led a study for us on James chapter 2 at the Gortmurrin men's meeting. And then following that, at a members' meeting on the 9th of April, Richard asked members to pray in relation to Lewis and Sharon. Over the coming weeks, as the church was praying, Lewis then spoke again at Gortmurrin on the 14th of May, this time leading the whole service, doing the children's talk, and in the evening, speaking at our baptismal service. He was so welcoming to visitors and got an opportunity to chat to more people as he and Sharon did. And that was over supper that evening. Positive feedback again was received. The elders then decided to give a few weeks space after that May meeting to allow prayer and feedback before speaking to Lewis and considering asking the Gortmurrin members about a call. At an oversight meeting we had in May, the men again all very much spoke highly of Lewis's preaching and also his character. The elders met with Colin Cooper again, who was so helpful in May, and Colin advised us set a time frame for the members to meet and to discuss with a view to possibly offering a call to Lewis and Sharon. Lewis very wisely suggested that we should meet with the elders of Emmanuel, but meet them without him present, just to allow open conversation. And this was arranged for the 29th of May. We had the delight of meeting Andrew, Keith, and David, and we discussed Lewis and Sharon, their growth at Emmanuel, how they led the youth work and the outreach. Lewis had regular preaching and teaching and handled all the different situations that he was involved in so well. We spoke about their possible transition, about how to care for them. Lewis and Sharon were so well thought of in Emmanuel, in the church family there, and they would be missed so much, but the Emmanuel church were happy to follow God's leading. We heard about how Lewis bonds so well with all ages, and we learned about how he's a planner and so well able to organize. The Gortmurrin members were informed of the meeting with the Emmanuel elders, and dates for church members were set for the 15th of June, which was an information evening about Lewis and Sharon. The three elders shared about the process to date and what they had learned about Lewis and Sharon, and there were so many positive responses from the Gortmurrin members at that meeting. A further members' meeting was held on the 27th of June, where a very positive vote was received and the church would issue a call. The elders informed Lewis and Sharon about the positive vote and that they would leave it with them now for prayer and for them to consider the call. We were delighted that at a meeting in July, we met with Lewis and Sharon and they confirmed that after prayerful consideration, they would like to accept that call. The date for commencing was set for February 24 due to Lewis and Sharon wanting to complete their ministry in Emmanuel. And this again spoke about their care for the work and the church that they were involved in. We thank Lewis for being very helpful in planning speakers for us during the last 6 months of the vacancy and blessing us with a host of very gifted young students and pastors who were so diligent with the word. And here we are today. I want to take time just to say a special thanks to a few people. All the speakers who came through the vacancy. Every week we were fed from God's word, and we want to thank each one. I want to take time to thank Colin Cooper. He came month by month and preached in the pulpit, and I especially enjoyed the series that he took on the book of Timothy, but also for his wisdom he shared with the elders, helping us each step of the way. It was really so helpful. To the Emmanuel Church, to Andrew and the other elders, for being so understanding and willing to help throughout the whole process. Thank you for the opportunities that you have given Lewis, which will in no doubt help Lewis and Sharon in Gortmurrin in the years to come. We praise God as we can now say the vacancy has ended. He is faithful and he answers prayer. On looking back at how you call a pastor, something that we had no experience of, something that Colin Cooper said comes to mind. It's prayer and trial. Prayer and trial. But in all of this, the Lord knows, as it says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Thank you.
Paul, for the history of the call. Thank you very much indeed. Very clear, very helpful. I'm going to invite, if he would come forward just now, for the act of induction. We'll invite Sharon up a little bit later. All right.
We are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to induct Lewis Stevenson as the pastor of Gortmurrin Baptist Church. According to Ephesians 4:11-13, the ministry of pastor-teacher is given as a gift to the church in order to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Therefore, it will be Lewis's responsibility to give priority to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, to encourage the church to be involved in evangelism and discipleship, to lead the congregation in worship, and to faithfully shepherd the flock of God. Those who undertake this ministry are entitled to the prayerful and practical support of the church. According to 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. The undertaking of this ministry depends upon the call of God to the individual, acknowledged and confirmed by the church. Therefore, I will first ask Lewis to declare that, believing in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Lord, he now believes that he's called by God to this ministry and that he will faithfully carry out his responsibilities. And then I shall ask the members of this church to declare that, having been guided by the Holy Spirit, they have called Lewis to be their pastor and that they will now receive him as appointed by the Lord. So first of all, Lewis, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you answer with all sincerity of heart the questions that I now ask of you?
I do.
Do you believe in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you now confess anew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you believe in your heart that you're called by God to preach the gospel and to share in the pastoral oversight of this church?
I do.
Do you promise to carry out your responsibilities with all faithfulness, to give priority to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, to encourage the church to be involved in evangelism and discipleship, to lead the congregation in worship, and to shepherd the flock of God in this place?
I promise to do so with God's help.
And do you promise to be faithful in prayer and in the reading and study of the Word of God and lead a life worthy of the calling you've received?
I promise to do so with God's help.
I invite the members of this church to stand in their places and to answer the following question that I now point to you with the words "we do," hopefully. Do you, the members of Gordmerran Baptist Church, acknowledge and receive Lewis Stevenson as pastor of this church and congregation, and will you now work together with him in ministry, giving him due honour and support in the Lord? Well, I'm going to ask the whole congregation to stand as we pray. I'm going to also ask Sharon to come forward and the elders, and we will lay hands on Lewis as he commences his ministry here in the life of Gordmerran Baptist Church. So let's bow together.
Ask of seeking for a new pastor. Thank you for working in Lewis and Sharon's hearts and leading them and guiding them to this point of committing themselves to the work here in Gordmerran. We thank you for all the years that have gone by in the history of this church. We thank you for every pastor who has served this fellowship in the past. Thank you for all the faithful sowing of the seed of the gospel. Thank you for much fruit that has already been born, and we look to the future to see even more blessing from your hand in this place. Thank you for these lovely new church premises. We ask they will be fully used for the work of the gospel in this place in the coming days. We pray for Lewis and Sharon as a couple, as very shortly they settle into this community and get to know their neighbours and the people around them. We pray that they will feel very much at home very, very quickly, and that together as a couple they will know the blessing of God resting upon them. Thank you for the gifts and abilities you've given to them. Thank you for most of all saving them by your grace. Thank you for the church families that nurtured them in the past, in Donnymanna and in Bethany and in Emmanuel. And as they come here now to use those gifts for your glory, we pray your blessing to rest upon them both. We pray especially for Lewis, that he'd be diligent in the study, faithful in his preparation of sermons for your people, that he will lead this congregation in worship, and together with the other elders, he will lead this church in evangelism and discipleship and in the works of ministry. And we pray that from this place the gospel will sound forth clearly, and many men and women and young people and boys and girls will come to a knowledge of the truth and of Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Father, who is sufficient for these things? None of us is, but we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to rest upon this couple and upon this church in the days to come, and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted and glorified in this place and from this place. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless, Lewis. God bless you. God bless you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here. I got that right, Richard, thankfully. Thank you so much for being here on this special day. For Sharon and I, and also for the church here at Gordmerran Baptist I had the fear that it would be Sharon, myself, and the three elders in this big grand hall, but it's good to see the church well filled today. Those fears were silly, but they came because I thought Saturday afternoon, football's on, you go out shopping, who would come to church on a Saturday afternoon? So it's good to have you here. But also those fears were because who knows where Ben Burb is? Like, you get lost on those country roads. So it's good to have you here, and just such an encouragement for Sharon and I as we start, just to see that we have friends and family and a support network around us who love us and care for us. So thank you. I want to thank all who have taken part in the service so far, for the men in the car park, ensuring the cars come in, for the catering later, for the elders who have led so far, and especially for Ian, who's just performed the act of induction. Thank you especially to Andrew, who's going to come soon and preach God's word to our hearts. And just thank you so much for being involved in this special day. At the outset, I want to publicly express my thankfulness to our triune God. I thank the Father because before the foundation of the world, he loved me in Christ. I thank Christ because in history, he came to accomplish my redemption. And I praise the Holy Spirit because when I was a teenager, he applied the work of Christ in my life and changed me. Today, I stand here as a newly inducted pastor of Gortmerran. And yet that's not my primary identity. My primary identity today is a sinner saved by grace. It is one who was dead but is now alive. And it is one who loves Christ because I'm a sinner and he is a savior. And I hope that today, on this special day, that we're all clear on that. That I am simply a sinner saved by grace. And it is our savior who gets all of the glory today. I want to publicly thank our respective families and close friends for being here. You have molded us over the years and shaped us to be the people that we are. So thank you for being here. I want to publicly thank our home churches, Bethany Baptist in Bangor and Dunamana Baptist up the other side of County Tyrone. In our early Christian lives, both Sharon and I valued these churches because they were formative for shaping us and stirring us up to love Christ more and to be part of his church. I want to particularly thank Emmanuel Baptist, the church dear to our hearts. Over the past many years, we've both served there, and we have so many cherished memories in that church. It's with sadness that we had to leave Emmanuel, but we're only leaving because it's God's will. And yet we thank you so much for those who have traveled down to this part of the world to be here today and to encourage us. So thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you for allowing me to pastor you, and even through many hiccups, you were still faithful, and you still loved us with grace and with kindness, so thank you. The pastoral calling process, I would describe as very similar to dating. So initially, you try to suss each other out. So you come down that first Sunday, you preach, and then you wonder, did they like me? Did they not like me? Then you're waiting for a phone call to say, oh, do they want to have you back? And then again, you go through that process of, did they like me again? Are they going to phone me back? And then we had our first date. We went to Starbucks, apparently. If I was to change it again, I probably would have changed a different venue. Starbucks is okay. And then after that, in July, we accepted the call. It was kind of like our engagement. We've set the date. The wedding day is coming. And we're making our way towards that. And if I'm honest, today it does feel like my wedding. It's weird. I'm wearing my wedding blazer, still fit into it. Last night I couldn't sleep, just the nerves. And then there was a lot of I do's there, wasn't there? It's very similar to a wedding. But I'm so glad to be here. It's so exciting this day to see what God has in store for the Church of Gortmerran and for the ministry here. I approach this journey with excitement. And yet I also approach it with much trembling, as it's a weighty responsibility to shepherd God's flock as an under-shepherd. I want to thank Colin for his ministry here in the church over the past many years and the evident blessing that you've been to the folk. I want to thank the elders who have wisely and sensitively handled the call, not rushing into it, but prayerfully seeking God's will at every point. And I want to thank the members of Gortmerran Baptist who have accepted us as a couple, and who have voted on us to come to serve here in this part of the vineyard, to serve as pastor and as pastor's wives. We're excited to get to know you more, to share our lives with you, and to watch you grow in your love for Christ and to love him more and more. I want to share with you one passage from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, Paul writes in verse 16, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." Here, Paul, a godly pastor, sees the Galatian church under attack from false teaching, and he writes to them to passionately plead with them to come back to the gospel of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in these verses, contrasts his ministry with the ministry of false teachers. The false teachers make much of the Galatian Christians, but for no good purpose. It's all for selfish gain. It's all for their own pride and for their own arrogance. And yet, that's not Paul. Instead, did you hear what he said in verse 19? He says, "I am in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." He has the pains of childbirth that Christ may be formed in the people that he loves and is ministering to. John Calvin said of this passage, "If ministers wish to do any good, let them labor to form Christ, not to form themselves in their hearers." And Gortmurren, as we go forward, this is my prayer and this is my priority. I'm not here to turn you into little Lewises, because no one wants that. I've got a twin, he's sort of like a little Lewis. Instead, I'm here to preach God's word. I'm here to pastor you so that Christ will be cherished in your hearts, and so that Christ will be formed in your hearts, in your ways, in your priorities, and in your actions. I'm here so that Christ will be formed in you more and more. So when I ask you, Gortmurren, as we go forward, I want you to make that your prayer for me as we minister here. Pray that I will remain focused to this priority, that Christ will be formed in this congregation. Amen. At this point in the service, I'm going to invite the music group up once again just to lead us in singing Be Thou My Vision, a song that really reminds us to have Christ as the focus in our hearts. We'll stand and sing this together, and after this singing, Peter Cooper is going to come up and read from God's word to us.
Thank you.
It really is a joy to be here and to be supporting Lewis and Sharon. Lewis and Sharon have been great friends to me and my wife over the years, and I'm just really excited to see what God will be doing in and through you and your work here in Gortmerin. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. We're going to be reading from verses 11 through to 24. Ezekiel chapter 34, starting at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is coming, when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own lands. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, for you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Amen. Lord blesses the reading of his word.
Well, the next item on your program is greetings on behalf of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland. Very often Dave Ramsey would do this, but he sends his apologies today. So I'm doing it as president of the association for this year, and I suppose as a neighbouring pastor as well, not too far to come today, and it's good to be here in Gortmerin to share on this special occasion with you. Let me say thank you, first of all, to the Gortmerin elders for their invitation to come along and to take part in this special service this afternoon. It really is my pleasure to be here. I was here preaching in our neighbouring Baptist church just a couple of weeks ago. I said then that the two churches, Armagh and Gortmerin, used to be linked in the past from about 1938 to about 1961 is the best I can come up with in the last day or two. The two churches were looked after by the same pastor. My grandfather, Pastor Robert Campbell, was the first to preach in both churches up until about 1940. And I found a little note that the expenses given to the Armagh church for a whole Sunday back then, hold on, 25p. So there you are. Times have changed. The story is told that my grand had travelled between the two churches on his bicycle, stopping in at a farmhouse along the way in the evening to swallow a raw egg for his tea before going on to preach his third or his fourth service of the day. I'm glad to say, Lewis, that neither you nor I are going to have to do that in these days. It was great to see Colin Jervis taking part at the beginning of this service. Colin completed 15 years of ministry here before going to work for Baptist Missions, along the Fermanagh border, and I hope to complete 15 years in Armagh this coming May. No sign of me going anywhere yet, so I look forward to sharing fellowship with Lewis in the coming years as neighbouring pastors. Apart from teaching Lewis 5 or 6 lectures on evangelism in his first year at the Irish Baptist College, I don't know Lewis or Sharon that well, but they've got very close to my daughter Jenny and her husband James McCauley over the last couple of years since Jenny and James got married and settled into Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lisburn. I know Lewis and Sharon have been a great encouragement to James as he started out to train for ministry in the Irish Baptist College throughout this past year, so thank you to you both for that. As president of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland for this year, I'm delighted to be able to bring you greetings here in Gortmerin from your sister churches across the island of Ireland. We currently have 119 churches at present. I was in Jamestown Road Baptist Church in North Dublin just a fortnight ago for the induction of their new pastor, Alan Neely, and his wife, Heather. Interesting link, Alan was brought up in the Dunamana Church, and so was Sharon Stevenson, as a daughter of David and June Canning. So it's great to see one of our smaller churches nurturing a future pastor and a future pastor's wife. I'll be down in North Dublin again tomorrow morning to preach at the new church plant from that church, Jamestown Road in Ashtown, North City Baptist Church. So it's really good to see what the Lord has been doing there in North Dublin in recent years. Great to be with you today here in Gortmerin. Thanks for your support of the work that we do together as an association of churches, and it is our prayer that God will bless you here in Gortmerin, bless pastor and people alike in the years that lie ahead. And here's a verse to help you keep going, Lewis. It's Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. May God bless you in the coming days. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. If you have your Bibles, if you could open them up, please, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Gormer, I want you to know you are getting a young man, but you're getting a mature pastor. A lot of people, even at the start of this service, are saying, how are you going to cope with Lewis gone? I've heard that an awful lot. I don't know what that says about everybody's faith in me. And the truth is, God always raises up, and we've been really encouraged in Emmanuel already to see others stepping up and serving in so many different ways across the membership. That's been wonderful. But you know what? I am going to miss having a pastor to soundboard with and to learn from the wisdom that he does bring to the table. I'm really going to miss the way that my kids got excited whenever Lewis came to the house, and the way that he just gently and quietly encouraged them in the faith. I'm really going to miss the prayers for myself, but also for my wife, Sarah. And I'm going to miss the preaching as well. Lewis will tell you, very fussy. And we had a few conversations at different stages, but this last number of years, it's been a joy to get to sit under his ministry. And so, Gortmerin, you are getting a young man and who has a wonderful wife, but you are getting a mature pastor. Don't look down on him. Cherish him. He knows the word. He knows how to love people. He's faithful in prayer. You have got a treasure. I want to say, again, it's been said many times, but these moments, you recognize a lot of the people have been invested. Bethany, Dunamana, friends and family, Emmanuel. There's been a lot that has gone into preparing a pastor and his wife for Gortmerin Baptist Church, but we also recognize that being called to preach God's word, it's a wonderful thing, but it can be a very difficult thing too, because so many people respond to the preaching with, well, offense and scorn. In fact, you know, sometimes people joke about Northern Ireland pastorates. You know, what year one and two, everybody's happy to see you. Year three and four, they start to grow bored of you. Year five and six, they heavily criticize you. And then most tend to leave year seven. And at that point, there was nobody like you. And that's the way it tends to go. But ultimately, pastors, we don't work for people. We don't even work for a particular congregation. Rather, we feed and we tend the local congregation because Jesus has called us to this task. And it's him that we serve. And so if we're to serve him faithfully, we should hear his words about what marks a faithful preacher, a faithful people, and a faithful ministry. So let me read to you from Luke chapter 7. I want to read from verse 24. Luke chapter 7 and verse 24. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of woman, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep. For John the Baptist had come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you would speak to us and that you would change us, that you would shape us through the word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing I want us to think about from the text is Lewis bear the marks of a faithful preacher. Lewis, you're to bear the marks of a faithful preacher. Because that's where Jesus begins his conversation. He begins to talk, to evaluate the ministry of John. His words in verse 28 make that clear. He approves of John's ministry. And yet, in order to draw attention to what was so impressive about this preacher, he points out two weaknesses that so many preachers, so many men of his day fell into. And two weaknesses that many preachers today also fall into. Look at verse 24 again, verse 24 and 25. See if you can spot those weaknesses. When John's messengers had gone to Jesus, when John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? a reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. And Jesus highlights these two features. And the first one, he is the mistake of one who is like a reed being blown about in the wilderness. Now, the wilderness that Jesus is talking about, funny enough, was a wilderness full of reeds being blown around. You looked left, there was a reed. You looked right, there was a reed being blown about. Wherever you looked, there were reeds being blown to and fro. I remember one time flying back to Ireland from sunny, overly hot California, and there was a couple that were sitting beside me in the plane, and they were coming for their very first trip to Ireland for their 40th wedding anniversary. And so I said, well, is there any expectation, anything you really want to see? And the lady, because she lived out in the desert, she said, oh, I just really want to see some green grass. Well, I assured her, you most certainly will. Because when you're in this country, wherever you look, there is green grass. Well, wherever you were in the wilderness, wherever you looked, there was a reed blowing in the wind. What Jesus is saying here is that they were common. They were just ordinary. They were safe. They were predictable. You need to understand that the preaching of Jesus' day all tended generally to sound the same. Somebody would get up and they would read, and then they would talk about what Rabbi so-and-so said and how Rabbi so-and-so said something different and Rabbi so-and-so at this particular point. And it was a regurgitation of pointless, safe information. It was bland. It lacked authority. But it was the expected style. And so to do it any other way, that would create ripples. That would create disdain. And that's why Jesus' preaching, we read about it all the time in the Gospels, it stood out as altogether different because he taught as one with authority. That's what made him so different to everybody else. It's why people traveled through the barren wilderness to go and hear the preaching of a man like John the Baptist, because he had a bold point. He was a direct sort of preacher. And yet at the same time, as Jesus says, don't be that bland, safe preacher, he also says, don't be showy and full of yourself. Verse 25, he gives us this other picture of the individual who loves to wear fancy, soft clothing, frilly clothing, the nice stuff, the banger boy, you know what I mean? Yeah. And in particular, most commentators reckon that what Jesus is referring to was Herod, Agrippa. The governor, the pretend king of the time, who never treated the people kindly, but he wore nice clothes, and he ate nice dinners, and he lived in luxury, and he'd bolstered himself up at the expense of everybody else. He was a puppet king, out for himself and out for his own comfort. And so Jesus is making a point here. He's saying, look, John's preaching certainly wasn't bland. It wasn't preaching that just fit it in with all norms, but nor was it a type of preaching that self-promoted or the type of gaining an audience that would guarantee a comfortable and easy life. And so Jesus commends John for not being like any of those two things. And it reminds us, Lewis, there is a particular temptation that you will feel to just be bland and safe in everything you say. Or to self-promote because you think you are something or you deserve something. And those are dangers that could kill the power of your ministry. Instead, you must speak God's word and point clearly to Jesus. Look at the beginning of verse 26. The beginning of verse 26. We're told by Jesus, "What then did you go out to see? A prophet?" Yes. Yes. What made John's ministry so compelling was he was a true prophet. In other words, he was one who shared not the many thoughts and speculations of the rabbis, nor one who even came and stood in the pulpit and shared his own opinions about things. But when he came and spoke, he spoke the very word of God. Lewis, people don't need, you know, 5 tips to marital bliss from Lewis Stevenson, or a guide to witnessing on the football field, or, you know, how to have your happiest happy meal now in this life. They need you to speak to them with the word of God, to herald the book. When people ask, "Why are you preaching Mark?" you say, "Because we need God's word." When they say, "Why are you doing a series on Zephaniah?" you say, "Because we need to hear from God." You must speak God's word, and you must point them clearly to Jesus. That's what he goes on to talk about through the rest of verse 26. A prophet, yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." John was more than just a prophet. He prepared the way for Jesus. In other words, he told anyone who would listen that they needed to repent. And they needed to look with great anticipation for the Messiah who was soon to come. In fact, verse 28, it's really a verse that's declaring why John was great. He was great because he pointed so clearly, even more clearly than any others before, to the person and the coming work of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And it says that we in the kingdom are greater than he, and that we have even more details about that work, even more that we can point clearly to. His death on the cross, how he is able to save all who look to him, his resurrection, how he is alive and today reigning over all, his own ongoing intercession for his people, the intimate care and attention that he gives towards those who belong to him. So do you see the point Jesus is making here? John was a great preacher because he spoke the word of God and he pointed to Jesus. This is what this church needs. Very simply, give them the word of God and point them to Jesus. Tell them that they are lost without him. Don't fall into the trap of trying to make them feel good about themselves and cozy. Help them feel the weight of their sin. The danger of being an enemy of God. This whole thing, it's too important to put off. It's too important to delay, because today is the day of salvation. You need to tell them that they must repent. There's such a temptation to take that language out of your mouth, to water that message of needed repentance down. Don't do it, Lewis. And most importantly, point them to Jesus, that they would know that there is no other name in heaven or on earth by which you may be saved. Bear the marks, Lewis, of a faithful preacher. Don't blend in or draw attention to yourself. Instead, speak God's word and point clearly to Jesus. Second thing I want us to see from the text is for Gortmurrin, especially. Gortmurrin, bear the marks of a faithful people. bear the marks of a faithful people. Luke records that this bold but crystal clear assessment of John and the contrast that you can make with it and so many of the other teachers of the day, it provoked a response. And just as, you know, Jesus contrasted John and the others, you can see a real contrast in the types of way people responded to this faithful sort of preaching. First of all, you see the right response there in verse 29. The response, Gortmer, and we want you to emulate. Look at it. Verse 29, when all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Gortmer, and as you hear faithful preaching, you must recognize God's role and your sinfulness. You must recognize God's role and your sinfulness. In verse 29, it talks about all sorts of people. And as if to underline the point, it says, and even those tax collectors too. In other words, there's not a category that's cut out here. There were people from all walks of life. People who came from all sorts of backgrounds, even the messy ones. And yet there is a group that includes all of these sorts of people, but they truly listen to the preaching of John. As John, remember, presented the word of God, and as they heard it, what took place in their mind and their heart was they declared God just. In other words, they recognized that God's standard was absolutely perfect, and that he has every right to judge. And the fruit of that recognition, verse 29 says, was they were baptized with the baptism of John. But the Bible makes clear the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. Repentance. You see, there was this group that Luke describes, who when they heard God's word, they recognized God was absolutely perfect, absolutely holy, and that they themselves were sinful. And so, hearing and realizing those two things, they repented and looked ahead to God's salvation provision in Jesus. That's how you should respond. But there was another response. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. This other group reminds us that as you hear faithful preaching, you mustn't think too much of yourself, or you'll miss your need of the cross. You mustn't think too much of yourself, or you'll miss your need of the cross. Well, we're told that there was a group, and actually, we know about this group. They did read the Bible every day. In fact, they considered themselves the experts in it, and other people thought they were the experts too. That's a really dangerous place to be, isn't it, when you think you really get it? And you think you know it? Because though they knew things the Bible says, they couldn't hear its message because they thought far too much about themselves. In fact, we're told there in verse 30, they rejected the purpose of God for themselves. The word that God had provided through John the Baptist that was meant to expose sin, that was meant to stir up repentance, it was meant to prepare them for the necessary work of Jesus on the cross, they missed that whole thing. They had the same access to the sermon as the tax collectors. But their hearts were too stubborn to hear the message. Friends, hell is full of churchgoers. It's full of people who sat through sermon after sermon after sermon, and yet they never heard it with their heart. And with their heart, they never heard a single word spoken. They say, "Oh, give me those morals, preacher, but don't show me my sin. Tell me I'm good, but don't point out that I'm rotten. Tell me how the world needs my help, my finances, my time, but don't expose my desperate need of a God who is merciful to sinners." You see the massive contrast in verse 29 and 30? You see the difference in these types of listeners? The warning it gives us is you hear faithful preaching, you must recognize God's role in your sinfulness. And as you listen, you must not think too much of yourself, or you'll miss the very real need you have of the cross. Gormer, and I've already said it, I do believe you have got today a faithful preacher. And he will work hard. He will mine the text. We've seen him do it in Emmanuel. And he'll present to you the word of God and the heart-exposing challenge that this wonderful book contains. But how will you listen? How will you listen week after week as he preaches? I'm not concerned about making sure Lewis has a nice pastorate. That would be nice. But friend, it's your eternal life that is at stake here. It's not Lewis, it's your eternal life that is at stake. As Hebrews 3:15 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion." Lewis, bear the marks of a faithful preacher. Don't seek to blend in or draw attention to yourself. Instead, simply speak God's word and point clearly to Jesus. And Gort Murren, bear the marks of faithful people. As you hear God's word expounded, recognize God's role and your sinfulness. And as you hear, don't think much of yourself or you'll miss your need of the cross. Lastly, for all of us, I want us to be watching for the marks of faithful ministry. Let's all be watching for the marks of faithful ministry. Now, that sounds simple, but right from the beginning, I want you to know that's a hard thing. Faithful ministry is a really hard thing to observe because the Spirit blows where it pleases. And so you can have the sectarian Jonah who wins the conversion count in the Old Testament, while at the same time you have faithful Noah who preaches to a wicked generation and nobody apart from his family ends up in the ark with him. Faithfulness will not show itself necessarily in numbers and seats, followers on Instagram, how many prayed that particular prayer. Rather, in the last verses that we read here, Jesus paints a picture, a holistic picture of what faithfulness produces. And some of the things here may surprise you. Look at verse 31. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he is a demon. The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." In verse 31, Jesus tells us what he's doing here. He's talking about the nature of the people in that generation, the people that John preached to and the people that he preached to. But the sad reality is every generation seems to bear these exact same marks and ways of responding to even the best preachers and the best pastors. And so when faithful ministry takes place, we need to realize that we will all see many who don't take part. When ministry by Lewis is faithfully done here, we will see many who don't take part. That's the point there in verse 32. In this description Jesus gives of the children out playing, make believe. So they're meant to be playing weddings, but nobody gets up to dance. And then they're meant to be pretending to have a funeral, but nobody cries. And so you've got this group of kids, and no matter what game it is that we try and instigate, in this particular group of kids, they all just stand around like grumpy teenagers with their arms folded and refuse to take part. In Ballymoney, we would have called them wee brats. That's what they were, wee brats. And Jesus is saying here that the majority of people in his time, that's how they responded to the preaching of John and to the preaching of himself, like wee brats. They folded their arms and they refused to respond. They refused to take part. Lewis, when you preach, there will be some in the church and as you mix in the community and the area generally, who will never respond. They will never respond. And their apathy, if you think too much about it, it's just going to cause you despair. But it's not you they're rejecting. It's Jesus. If you've presented the word faithfully, it's then between them and God. And in fact, you and the church can be faithful despite still maybe having real concerns in your heart about those people who just never seem to take part. Because faithful ministry will, in this world, in this generation, have those sorts of people around it. But also when faithful ministry takes place, there will be many who, it's not a very uplifting sermon, is it? Criticize. There will be many who criticize. Again, that's what we saw in verse 33 and 34. You have here, verse 34 is the Prince of preachers, the true prince of preachers, the best preacher that has ever walked on this earth. That's the one being described in verse 34. And arguably, verse 33 is the second best preacher who has ever walked on this earth. And how did people respond to the best preacher, number one, and second best preacher in the world? Well, according to the two verses, with criticism. You've John the Nazarite. He takes a vow because he's told to. And he leads this ascetic life. He ate locusts and wild honey and he drank water. So very few people invited him to their birthday parties or have him as a dinner guest. That wasn't, you know, exactly what you wanted. And so because he was committed and he took God seriously, and he did exactly what he was asked to do by God, people looked at him and wrote him off. They wrote him off because his preaching exposed their sin and the deadness of their hearts. He very truly sang a dirge. But instead of weeping, they dismissed him, according to verse 33, as having a demon. That's not subtle. As having a demon. They declared him and his convicting message evil from the pit of hell. And then in contrast, you've Jesus. And Jesus came into this world to offer life. And so rightly, he celebrated and he ate and he drank with others. But because it was God's word, he ultimately brought. The majority of people, just as they had done to John with very different intent, they dismissed him also, this time as a glutton and a drunkard. And all because of the company that he kept. They said, because sinners talk to him, because sinners seem to like him, because they enjoy his company, well, that means he must be sinful just like them. Now, do you see the point being made here in the text? Both these men preached truth. Truth that people needed to hear. But the people, rather than as they heard it having dealings themselves with God, they largely sought to dismiss the challenge of God, and they did it by pointing the finger at the preacher and criticizing him. Elders in Gortmurrin, brace yourselves. People will say some rare things about Lewis. And the natural tendency is you react to every criticism. But criticism's going to come. Not because necessarily the preacher, but because people hate the demands that the preacher sets out from the Word of God itself. I've had people tell me, Andrew, your sermons are too long. And everybody in Emmanuel laughs. But it might surprise you. I've also had, now not many, but a few, say, they're far too short. I've had people in the same week tell me that I'm far too passionate when I preach, and I'm not passionate at all when I preach. I have been told that I present too much challenge. And then I've been also been told that I preach far too much grace. Gives people an excuse and lets them get away with it. You know what? I know I have a lot of growing to do as a preacher. Believe me, I know that. But when I go home on a Sunday night, do you know what I do? I go to bed. And I go to sleep. Because God has simply asked me, with my limited gifts and abilities that he has given, he's asked me simply to preach the word. And after that, all those reactions, all those criticisms, it's not really about, it's between them and God. I know it comes my direction, but it's not me they're reacting to often. It's God. In fact, we can go even further than that. And I think we could even say, if there's no reaction, Lewis, to your ministry here in Gortmurrin, no reaction at all, never any criticism, everybody's always happy and smiley and it's all great, that's deeply concerning. If everybody's happy and content and comfortable, you're ear tickling. Because God's word does encourage. It's amazing. It does. But it also corrects. And it also rebukes. And unless you're humble, and unless God has given you grace, a message that rebukes and a message that corrects, to actually be changed by that, that's not an easy thing at all. And so if they criticized the ministry of John, in fact, if they criticized the ministry of Jesus, yes, they're going to criticize you also. And actually, that's a sign of faithful ministry. So when faithful ministry takes place, you will see many who don't take part. You will see many who criticize. And yeah, thank goodness there's a last point. You will see some who grow in wisdom. Look at the last verse there, verse 35. yet wisdom is justified by all her children. The wonderful reality is, as we just said, that even though not everybody who hears the word of God responds positively, not everybody who hears the word of God rejects it. Indeed, wisdom is justified, some versions say vindicated, by all her children. In other words, when the wisdom of God's word is presented, there will always be some who hear it, take it on board, and naturally will grow as a result and show that wisdom to be true. There will always be some who are eager to hear God's direction for their lives, who take it on board, and the results will speak for themselves. The reality is that even the most faithful of ministries will have people folding their arms, people not taking part, people criticizing, but faithful ministries will always have those who little by little grow, who move forward in their walk with God, who produce fruit in their life. It's amazing. Husbands will learn how to love their wives more. Wives will submit willingly to their husbands. Not all of them, but some. Children will honor their parents. Some church members will grow deeply in that ability to bear one another's burdens, to love one another as they ought. Some will be salt and light in their workplaces. The dead in sin will be made alive in Christ. All as God's word is faithfully preached. Lewis, this is the calling that God has put on your life. It's a grueling one. And it will provoke tears and disappointments, heartaches, and yet at the exact same time, some of the sweetest moments to be found on earth. You get to see dead people come to life and becoming a new creation and growing and homes being changed and people becoming more like the Savior you love, and you get to see it all happening under God's ordained way through the preaching of the word, and to see people with hearts that have responded, eager to come to this place and worship God from hearts deeply devoted to their King. Jesus promises here that in County Tyrone, wisdom will be justified by her children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that this is your means, your way of caring for your people. Lord, it doesn't make sense to us why you would entrust such a stewardship to elders in the church and to a pastor. But we thank you, Lord, that you have equipped by giving the Holy Spirit, by giving gift and ability, by giving us your word, by calling us clearly to preach it. You have equipped Lewis for this task. We pray that you would keep him humble. We pray, Lord, that you would help him in every part of the role that he carries out here in Gortmurrin. But we ask, Lord, that in all of the difficulties and hardship and poor responses that many will make to the ministry here, we ask that you would help him to focus on that work that you're doing in the heart of your people. For we trust that promise that wisdom will be justified by her children. So we ask, Lord, that that Gortmirren, who you've cared for and blessed in so many ways in the past, that their brightest days would be ahead of them. And that as Lewis holds out the word of God, that the people here would respond. And the people in the surrounding community affected by the good news of the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing, "It Was Finished Upon the Cross." When the music begins, let's stand and sing to the praise and glory of God. Afterwards, David Wills, one of the elders in Emmanuel, is going to come and close our time in prayer.
Let us pray. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we have been together to praise you for how you have been working both in this area and back, yes, back in Emmanuel and right through to Bethany and Dunamana. And Father, we pray tonight, today, that you would just bless Lewis and Sharon as they start out in their ministry here in this place. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth, that the believers in this area will be built up in their faith. And we pray earnestly, Father, that as Christ is lifted up in the area, that he will draw all men unto him. Father, we pray that we'd have the joy of hearing of many coming to the Saviour and many being built up in their faith. And to that end, Father, we pray that you would just bless them. Yes, we have been hearing from your word and realizing that it's not a picnic. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them for the task that lies ahead, and that you will put a shield about them and about this little fellowship here too, and that the work of our God would prosper in this area of our beloved island. And Father, this evening we just pray now that you would be with us as we have some refreshments together. Bless our time of fellowship and conversation. And we ask it all in your precious Son's name and for your glory alone. Amen.
Well, thank you so much.